Hey, Margaret.
Yeah, Anton?
You know what people don't talk about enough?
What?
That moment when Wilhelm accidentally drops his fork, looks back at Simon awkwardly, and then Simon smirks to himself without Wilhelm noticing. Welcome to People Don't Talk About Young Royals. I'm Anton. My pronouns are he, they.
And I'm Margaret. My pronouns are they, them.
And we're people here to discuss the show our friends are sick of hearing us talk about.
If that sounds like you, stick around. If your friends sent you this podcast as a desperate attempt to get you to watch Young Royals, take this as a sign.
Go watch Young Royals and then come back to this podcast.
Anton, what are we talking about today?
Today, we will be discussing the acting of Season 1, Episode 1.
Woohoo! And then just a little disclaimer, in this discussion, we won't be summarizing the plot of the episode, because we already did that. If you need or want a refresher, head back 3 episodes in our feed to our most recent This Week in Hellerska for a full breakdown. This episode discussion will likely be all over the place, so strap in. You've been warned.
All right. Do I start with the fork? Because that's how we did. That's how we ran Art of the Frame. So if you've listened to the previous episode, you know, host gets to start with what they put in the cold open. So here we go. God, I have so many notes. Okay. My only note is the fucking fork. Anyways, okay.
Super descriptive. I like it.
Alrighty. I already kind of went on a pretty strong tangent about this 2 episodes ago in our first revolution episode for the pilot. But on an acting level, I just love the expressions in this moment when Wilhelm drops his fork, Simon sees him, but neither of them know that the other recognized the moment. Like, and I think pulling back, I think I talked about this a little bit in that previous episode, but it's this sign that Wilhelm isn't perfect. It's this little, like, humanizing moment for Simon. Mm-hmm. That I kind of just see as the moment that he starts, to use a very high school term, he starts liking him just a little bit. They barely know each other, but like,
yeah,
that's like, there's no other way that he could, in the course of the next 24 hours, can seriously consider kissing this boy if that didn't already happen in this scene.
Yeah.
Like, on some level, he, like, Simon knows he's gay. I think he can fully clearly think, like, dang, I hate everything he represents, but this prince be cute.
This prince be cute, and he be goofy. He'd be a little clumsy.
He'd be a little silly goofy.
He'd a little silly goofy.
And it's just like, I think of all the things that Simon expected Wilhelm to be, awkward wasn't one of them.
No. No. And this comment is more in line with the revolutionary episode, but we've already had it and I'm going to say it anyways. Neither person is what they were expecting the other to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I didn't say this in Revolution, but I'm just thinking, I think Simon was expecting someone like August.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Oh, totally. Like, he's like, yeah. I hate all these rich bitches, and this is the head rich bitch. Like, that's what I'm expecting here, is the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
Of all of these people.
All of these people are like, oh, I own so much land. My parents are these people. And Wilhelm's like, my mom is the literal queen.
Yeah.
And yet, he's not like any of the rich bitches.
Yeah. Also, quick side note, some people might think that was a reference to the movie Glass Onion. It wasn't intentional, but I'll go for it.
Hey, no. Own it. Play it like a champ.
Yeah. God, I just dated this podcast. I'm sorry. So with that, I think that's all I have to say. Okay, cool. My first point is before your point. Wilhelm biting his nails. Yeah. Just like him biting his nails, the queen's reaction of stop that. And then something I didn't notice until this watch through, his glare at her.
Yeah.
I never realized I never realized he fought back a little bit.
He fought back in a very silent way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like that's probably pretty symbolic of who he was pre when we first see him.
Yeah. This is like, in the best way that the show can, in the most extreme way the show can possibly do it, like, they're like, trying to encapsulate what Wilhelm's relationship with his family is in these opening scenes.
Yeah.
And his mother preventing him from doing his something that is clearly anxiety based by just yelling at him and grabbing his hand.
Every time I'm like, hey, Christina, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck you in particular. No.
What?
Fuck you in particular.
Yeah, literally. She sucks.
Yeah. And then you wanted to talk about the way that Wilhelm and Eric kind of like switch around and like awkwardly.
Yeah, I just think I don't even know what I think that is. I just think
it's very brotherly.
It's very brotherly. It's very humanizing. Yeah. You know the literal crown prince and then the prince. They're still people who interact with each other.
I mentioned last episode, well, we both kind of talked about the way that it's a very staged scene, mm-hmm. and that them, I think I used the metaphor of like, they're like dolls that they're kind of just moving around. But like in this moment where they're being just positioned in this very particular way, you do have that little bit of physicality of both of them, like, moving like real people move.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it goes from them being like pawns or dolls or whichever analogy you'd like to use to they are actually people. They're brothers. They interact with each other.
Yeah. And then we lead into the speech with Wilhelm fidgeting.
Yeah.
Like in my notes, I basically just wrote the speech into the look. But it's just like it is masterful acting.
It is.
Like
100%.
I don't know a single reactor who didn't get at least like 50% invested in the show just based on watching Wilhelm's speech.
I got chills the first time.
Yeah. Because, like, I talked about this a bit last episode, but, like, his, like, false start.
Yeah.
Where he, like, can't get through a single word.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does it perfectly.
He does it perfectly. But, it's like he needed a minute to put on his, like, mask.
Yeah. Because it's like, he does it perfectly, but he does it painfully and kind of robotically.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least just with a very neutral, very neutral expression. And, like, every single word is, like, pulling teeth.
Yeah. Because he doesn't mean any of it.
No.
Like, none of those words are his.
Yeah.
And he's
also still fidgeting the entire time.
Yeah, and he's anxious, and he's got all this pressure on him, and now he has to say, nobody's more disappointed in me than my family and myself, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of what I, like, picked out on acting were his, like, anxiety responses. Yeah. And like how he self-regulates. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a lot of what I noticed because it's so well done.
It is. It's very well thought out.
It's like so, it's so well done.
Yeah. We both have the same next point, which is August and Wilhelm fighting over his suitcase.
Yeah.
I know at one point you were considering using this in the cold open of the summary episode.
I was, and I changed my mind because I decided it was more art of the choice. Yeah. Because it's, there's some communication, but it's not a conversation.
Yeah.
And so we know that Wilhelm literally just wants to have a normal life. Like, that's all that he wants. And so he doesn't like his status. Like, we know that. We see that. He cringes when people call him Prince. He literally said, like, I just want a normal life. In this scene, you can see how uncomfortable he is with everybody, like, tending to him all the time and, like, doing things for him all the time. And I think it's just an important, like,
mm-hmm.
it's an important way for the audience to see just how not comfortable he is with his title, but also how he's so not the stereotype of his title. And he's, like, actually a person. And, like, that's all he wants to be. Yeah. It's, like, left alone.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think something about this show that could feel kind of trite, I guess, is if, like, we're just, our lesson, our only takeaway was be about Wilhelm would be like, he's not like other princes. Like, and I don't think that's what either of us are saying here.
No.
What we're saying is that for whatever reason, Wilhelm is constitutionally bad at being a prince.
Yeah. He was born to do it, but he was not. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
he was born into this role, but he was not born to do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know who was born into their role and well suited to their role?
You're either going to say
August Horn.
You say August? Yeah.
August.
I was like, you're either going to say August or Eric, and I can't tell which direction you're going here.
No. Yeah, that's fair. My next point is just walking into the church and August smug smirking.
This is going to be crude. He gets a hard on over his connection to the crown.
That's the more I watch that his face in that scene as he's walking down that aisle. I feel like the word that always comes to mind a little bit is like that he's peacocking.
Yeah.
He's being like, look at me. Look at me.
I'm in with the royal family. I'm their second cousin.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. Yeah. I'm really that cool.
Yeah. And it's like, nobody cares, bro. People care, but they care about the actual princes who are walking with you, not.
Yeah. He is like getting off being close to status.
Literally.
He's just walking with the princes and he loves that feeling.
Yeah.
We haven't had the chance to talk about August much because we've almost been purposely avoiding him, really. Like, he's basically come up as, like, a specter in our discussions about Wilhelm and Simon. But, like, we will get to him eventually. He will eventually get his own episode. But, like...
Stay tuned.
Yes. Like, he just... Just if you observe August in the beginning of this show, he is acting his face off to make you not like him.
Yeah.
And he hasn't even said a word yet. Barely said a word yet. Like, all you get up to this point that we start getting seeing him smirking is like, oh, they barely can notice it, like with his scar.
And he tells Alexander to fix his posture.
Yes. Yeah.
Which
and like the touching of the face.
Yeah.
Too, like, just like we talked about this in our last episode, August does not have personal boundaries.
No, he doesn't.
With anybody.
No, it's like he thinks he's too good for it or something.
Yeah, this but is let's not into, go on a rant about August.
Yeah, this is getting into character assassination.
Ooh, spoilers!
Spoiler, sorry.
For the title of the.
Sorry.
You're good. Yeah. Little teaser for our fun little name for our characters episode about characters we hate. Okay. Just like, okay. Talking about August a little bit more, you have where August says you have to, what is the exact line?
For what part? You got to get them while they're young and like insecure or something like that.
And too, well, you have to get them while you're young and they're too insecure. Well, there's at least they're too insecure to object. I know that's the end of the line.
Yeah. And he's referring to Felice.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because basically, Eric calls him out for being a bit of a playboy and saying he have to stop that if he wants to like get like modern nobility.
Yeah.
And like August like confidently is like, eh. Yeah. Which I know and you know that Wilhelm can't possibly be thinking this, but what I think and what I did think when I first watched this was, ugh, straight people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, Wilhelm can't be thinking like that necessarily in those terms. Because I know we've talked off mic, and I believe possibly in our part, briefly in our revolution episode, like.
Yeah, I think we talked about a revolution.
Yeah, like I don't think he's thought about it either one way or the other what his sexuality is, but I think on his subconscious level, he just doesn't understand straight culture in a way that's so relatable to me.
Same.
Which. Not to say that all straight culture is misogynist, just most of it.
Just the hegemonic straight culture.
Yes. There we go. Then we have, I feel like both times when we've gone through the plot of the episode in these The Art of Thes, we get to Simon and everything is better.
Everything is better. Everybody's happy.
Because like, I only picked up this time, like, how softly he really is singing, which does actually give context to Vincent asking him to sing louder.
Yeah, he is singing quite softly. Like, you can hear him over the rest of the choir, but you can't, like,
make out the words totally if you didn't have subtitles on.
Yeah.
And so I think, really, that made me really get into the perspective of Vincent, thinking, like, huh, I'm gonna clown on this non-res who can't sing over the rest of the choir and make fun of the fact that he isn't singing over the rest of the choir.
And then he does.
And then Simon's like, bet.
And it's like, fucking yeah, gorgeous.
I was a little bit nervous, but now I get to clown on you. Yes.
Yeah.
Please.
And everybody's reaction when he starts singing louder, everybody's like, holy shit. Y'all hearing this? And Wilhelm, he like looks over at Eric like, bro, did you hear that? Are you hearing this?
Yeah. I just realized that look is kind of similar to the same look he gives when Simon is popping off in class.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's almost identical.
Yeah.
Of the, like, wait, people do this?
Yeah, he's like, wait a minute, we can do, like, this is allowed?
Like, I know the meme basically means, like, the exact opposite of this, but my brain immediately went, like, you live like this? But in a positive way. Like, he's seeing Simon is like, you live like this?
Yeah, like in a genuine way. Like,
people
way.
Tell you to speak, to sing louder, and you just do it immediately because you have the confidence to do so.
Yeah. What I wrote in my notes for this part, when he, like, looks at his brother and is like, y'all hearing this? Is something LGBT just happened to me?
I have something similar to that, but with Simon later. Yeah, running theme of the show for me is that because I relate to Wilhelm so strongly in a lot of ways, like I more often than not find myself like attracted to Simon / Omar more than
I know
Edwin. whereas I feel like with Margaret it's like a toss-up.
Margaret just has gender envy.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah. If you remember anything before this, I will want to talk about We Run Away on 3.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because we didn't have much... I don't have much Eric on this list. This might actually be one of my only things about him.
Yeah.
Because we don't get a lot of him in this episode. So,
no, we don't.
Like, because we didn't get a lot of him, I want to highlight him while he's here. I feel like We Run Away on 3 is like the first hint of his genuine personality.
Yeah.
Because I would like to believe that him laughing at August's terribly sexist joke is not all of Eric or what he really, really thinks. Like, that's one of my more difficult scenes to watch with him in it, because he seems like he generally finds it funny. But I can't tell how much of that, because we're not really ever in Eric's head, how much of that is kind of just him living on autopilot.
In my own personal, like, to keep myself sane.
It takes a fool to remain sane.
It does. And
I'm sorry, that was bad. That was
I think, no, it was pretty good. I was thinking it. I'm glad you said it. I think it's got to be him, like, kind of living on autopilot. You know, like, because later when Wilhelm is, like, he's so annoying. I think that's all he said. I think he's just, like, I don't want to listen to August, he's so annoying. And all that Eric says back to him is, like, he's family. So I think that that's really important to Eric, and that might be why he entertains those kinds of comments, at least in part.
Yeah, I'd like to think it's almost one of the things, like, because I feel like I sometimes do this around family that I know I need to be nice to. Like, not all the time, but, like, so occasionally, like, a family member that maybe I don't know as well, or I don't see as often, will kind of say something in a certain tone, and I just kind of respond with the reaction I know they're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, who hasn't done that at, like, Thanksgiving, you know? Like,
yeah,
you've got to just, like, save the bridge type of thing.
Yeah, especially since, like, I mean, I guess, to be fair to the relationship, we know that Eric and August are closer than just seeing each other at Thanksgiving occasionally. But also, at least this day, like, he's only catching up with August for a few hours. And then dipping.
And what are you going to do? Like, hey, bro, you're a sexist pig? Like,
yeah. With cameras?
Not the time or the place.
With cameras?
Yeah, not the time or the place.
Yeah.
Again, press training since the womb.
Yes. That is even more true for Eric, because he has been prepared to take the crown one day.
Yes.
And so he needs to have a spotless image. And he does.
He does.
This is when I start getting into, like, dialogue that I like to think about sometimes, or, like, kind of catches me every time I rewatch it. August, do you want to be kings of the decade or losers who can't even throw the prince a fucking party?
Yeah.
There's something about that line that, like, August is not sympathetic in this episode, and so I don't want to jump too far ahead. But, like, there's something about that line that feels revealing of what August thinks of his relationship with the royal family.
Yeah.
Like, we see the kind of attention, and he sees the kind of attention he can get with close association and good favor from the royal family.
Yeah.
And I think the second he sees that, now he's like, no, guys, a lot is riding on this. For me specifically.
Yeah. He wants to capitalize on it.
Like, it's one of those lines where it's like, he's like, do you want to be kings of the decade or losers? He's talking to himself.
Yeah, because...
Really?
Yeah.
Because the whole thing is ego for him.
Oh, everything he does, like, is ego.
Like, it's like, I need to seem... He's like, I promised Eric this thing, and I need to be a person who delivers for the royal family.
Yeah, and I think Yeah, getting back to what you said, he noticed how much people were looking at him. They were looking at the princes, let's be honest, but he was there, so they noticed he was there. And he's like, ooh, I may be, you know, prefect, but I could get more, like, notoriety. I could be more, like, have more of a status if I'm in good with the royal family, more than just being their cousin.
Yeah. Not enough about August. I don't like thinking about him too long.
I hate August.
Going on to something that you mentioned earlier about clocking throughout the episode. Actually, right before that, something I noticed this time around. Before, when Eric enters Wilhelm's room before him and is saying something along the lines of like, oh, wow, you're so lucky. Yeah. I had to share until like my third year. Like, you get a single. How great. I read on Wilhelm's face that he was overwhelmed by how small the room was.
Interesting.
Like, I don't know. You can, like, feel free to, filthy audience at home and Margaret eventually, to like, watch that for yourself. But the way I kind of, like, the way I kind of read that is, like, because right after that, you have the line, I can't do this for 3 fucking years. To me, it just feels a little bit like, I'm seeing my prison right now. Like, he's seeing the room as his prison cell.
Yeah, I think he sees the entire school as his prison.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of his worst nightmare.
Going back to what I was saying before, like, you're his anxiety tics that we are noticing about the other episode. You get his first rubbing of his chest.
Yes.
In the show. At the line, it's not about you. Yeah. Everything you do reflects back on our family, which is what Eric is saying while he's doing that. It's like immediately after that.
Yes. That's so much pressure to put on a 16-year-old.
And also, like, yeah.
Yeah, but that's...
watched that back a couple times and being like, everything you do reflect back on our family, cut to Wilhelm, immediately hand on chest. Just rubbing over his heart. Being like,
it's okay, I can do it. It's okay, it's okay. Yeah. You know, something that's interesting is, and I didn't realize it until over spring break, I started doing that when I have panic attacks. Like, that's a recent development. Is it because of this show? Potentially. But it works, too. That's the thing, is it worked. And yeah. I was like, whoa! I didn't think it was going
to
work.
I mean, if there's anyone who's going to know how to get through a panic attack...
That's true.
It's
For whatever reason, I wasn't expecting it to work, and it actually worked. So, PSA.
Yeah, that's fair. PSA. And then you have to say hi to mom and dad for me.
That one breaks me.
Just.
Because, okay. Tell me what you read it as. I'll tell you what I read it as. Part of me reads that as him, like, desperately trying to have a normal connection with his parents that's like maternal and paternal, not like a business interaction. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It feels a little bit.
Yeah.
It feels a tiny bit forced. Like a thing that he knows he should say. But at the same time, also, there's something so genuine about it. Because in my head, what I always kind of fill in the blanks of is he's telling that to Eric because he's going to see...
Mm-hmm.
Eric's going to see their parents way before Wilhelm sees them next. Because he's been sent away. He's been like, presumably, like, this is his first time at a boarding school.
Yeah.
Which means he's been living his entire life at the palace up until this point. Which means he's literally been sent away.
Oh, yeah. He's been sent away.
Like, I think we don't really stress that too much because it kind of happens so quickly and, like, it doesn't get tons of emphasis. But, like, he is in the most literal definition of the phrase, but he's been shipped off to boarding school.
Yeah. Because they even, was it Christina? It was probably Christina. Who said, like, if we can't keep these things from happening, or if we can't control these things, we have to make sure they don't happen, or it was something along those lines. I can't remember the exact wording.
Yeah, something like something like that.
When, like, right before he gives the first speech. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like he's very much being punished for anything that happened to him, and now because of that, he's being shipped off to boarding school.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, flashing ahead a little bit, but just like the fact that August's perspective on that whole thing is fully in agreement with the royal family. Of like, yeah, it's good that you're here because you'll be around the right people.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Simon again. That'll make us happy.
Yeah, we can talk about Simon all day long.
A line that I didn't only really started appreciating when I did the summary for this scene, but it's so good for revealing Simone's personality. August is like, I don't think we've met. And then he's like, takes the time to introduce himself. And then Simon literally is like, I've been going here for over a month, but sure. And it's just like,
it's really good.
It's so good because you're just like, damn, this is not a kid who's not afraid to call other people out.
No, he is not afraid to give other people shit.
Like in their first, like,
we talk about Simon being like, literally, we talk about Simon kind of being like a people pleaser and like he tries to take care of people. He also doesn't accept shit from people.
Yeah. I mean, it really comes down to whether or not he cares about the other person, really.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that to some level he's pretty self-sacrificing.
100%.
But also, he's an interesting character because he's a self-sacrificer with a backbone.
Yeah.
Which you don't get a whole often.
That's what the nuance of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's, like, Simon isn't one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, to be fair, up until this point, I don't think we've really seen people pleaser Simon come out. We'll see it by the end of the episode. Yeah. But, like, this is just the beginning foundation of his character, of him interacting with peak rich boy. The, like, person that represents everything he hates.
Yeah.
Which is why I want to shout out his face. That we get his face and not August when he says, people like you there with us.
Yeah. His reaction to that, he's like, the fuck?
Like, I want to think that he's probably had some pretty absurd reactions in his a little over a month going to Hilarishka. Talking to August for the first time has to take the cake.
Yeah.
For just how absurd his life is right now.
Yeah. Well,
she's like, because is this guy saying this like it's a compliment?
Yeah. Does he think this is a good thing? Yeah. Because, like, the other guys, we see the other guys, they're not nice to Simon. You know, at best they ignore him. At worst, they're outwardly mean to him.
Mm-hmm.
But August actually has the balls to, like, say it to his face. It's just, like, it's a normal conversation. It's just, like, a normal thing you would say to somebody. Like, hey, you want to come? People like you with people like us? That'd be crazy, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, what? Who says that? Also,
like,
that?
Again, like, on the subject of someone being able to challenge people, I didn't write it down in my notes, but, like, I remember summarizing it, of him being, like, so you think everyone who doesn't live on campus is dealing?
Yeah.
And then August fully ignores the question. Like, he just doesn't.
Yeah.
Like,
Simon's so, like,
as, I don't... like, as much as Simon is on his A game, he's kind of met his match in August because August isn't phased and can't feel shame. So, like,
yeah,
at least not from Simon.
No. Yeah. Also, it was such, like, a small thing. I don't even remember what August says to start the conversation. Is it just, like, Sosa? Does he just call him a socialist?
Hey, socialist guy.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
So he just calls him a socialist. And...
and then Simon immediately corrects him, saying, Simon, which is how we learn his name.
Yeah. It's so baller.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, a scoff in there. And it's just, like... that whole interaction is so the, like, take no shit Simon, it's so perfect to like then set up to
and like
what we see after,
right? Which I think this kind of connects back to what I was started saying last episode in Art of the Frame, which that discussion got a little bit away from us when we were talking about like how the arrival of Wilhelm has affected Simone and Wilhelm's lives.
Yeah.
But like, to like more specifically point like responsibility and like to the people who like deserve it, like it is August who is dropping into this non-res's life.
Yes.
And having just all of the audacity.
Oh yeah. August got so, like, he's got audacity for days in all the wrong ways.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And he is, you're right, he is the one that goes to Simon and says, hey, we need booze. Get the booze for us?
Yeah.
And that's sort of when
Simon... And also, like, at the same time, like, it was a comment that Nils made in passing, but honestly, knowing Vincent and Nils, I don't know how serious Nils was being.
Yeah,
I think August was like heard that and was
that's
like,
a good idea.
You know what?
That ain't bad.
That ain't half bad.
That's gonna be the money move. Yeah,
because in the worst possible way, like I think we definitely talked in the Revolution episode because I love this about their relationship. Like, Simon is looking for someone who sees him.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, technically the first person who acknowledges that they see him is August.
Yeah, you're right.
Because Nils and Vincent are just totally writing him off and making fun of him. And August is looking off in the distance.
And he's like, to wait a minute.
Where walked away. He's like,
yeah.
Spotted. An opportunity. Someone who I feel like I can manipulate.
It's someone that he can manipulate, or that he thinks he can try to manipulate.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. Before we derail ourselves on August for like the third time, let's talk about Felice and Sara for a little bit. I think the thing about Felice in her like introductory scene, besides her like smiling at Wilhelm in the choir.
Yeah.
Is like, you're not supposed to like her. I think you'll agree with me there. Like, she's being mean to someone who's just trying to help.
Yeah.
Like, you don't like her at all. Like, you're like, what? Where is this hostility coming from?
Yeah.
And you don't get the answer in this scene.
You don't get the answer in this episode.
No. But you do get her leaning her head against Rousseau, the horse.
Yeah, you see that she's got empathy for, like, and she, like, no. Yeah. Like, she's like, okay, I was being a bitch.
Yeah, you see her feeling bad, yeah, which is a moment you don't get from August, to be fair.
Yeah.
Well, it's an understatement, but like, still, like,
yeah.
Yes, Felice isn't behaving the best, but on some level, you do see
she shows remorse,
her awareness of her actions.
Yeah. She's not like, I was a bitch, and I'm pleased about it. I stand by what I did. She's like, I was a bitch, now I regret it.
Yeah. And like a little too late. But also, what I find very interesting, and the line that I keep thinking about, is what Sara says in the scene right after that, when Simone says like, people, she shouldn't be able to talk to you like that, and Sara with her whole chest says, it wasn't about me.
I can really admire Sara for being able to be like, it wasn't about me, it's fine, it doesn't matter. And, like, not take that to heart.
Yeah. And, like, I think this definitely probably shows a bit of my internal ableism. But, like, sometimes when watching back that scene through the lens of Sara having autism, I felt bad by how, like, surprised I was at that she could be that perceptive.
Mm. That makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. Which, like, I think that's unfair of me. I will totally admit that.
Yeah.
But also, Sarah does have a tendency to think in her own perspective a lot.
Yeah.
And so it is interesting, though, what those moments of awareness of other, of other people, and it's interesting how that understanding manifests.
Yes. I will agree with you on that.
But I think also that just makes her character more nuanced, because she's not
yes.
clearly one thing.
Right.
And it's, and she doesn't always, she's not, she's like, I think that speaks to, like, I can't speak to this because I'm not part of this community, but like, I haven't really heard anyone say that Sarah is bad autistic rap. Like, mm-hmm. and I think part of the reason why I think she's could be good autistic rap is that she isn't constantly missing the point.
Right. Yeah.
She sometimes is very perceptive.
Mm-hmm.
She sometimes notices things that no one else is noticing.
Yeah. I agree.
But looking at fully specifically the line where she's like, August's children won't be princes and princesses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to speak too directly to what we know, what you and I know happens next or know about Felice.
Mm-hmm.
But those didn't sound like her words.
No. Those sound like something she's been, like, prescribed.
Reminded of. Often.
Yes. Yes. And I think what Maddie says there is interesting when she's like, you're from the richest family in Sweden, you don't need to marry a prince. And she's like, oh, but my kids would be princes and princesses.
Yeah. And you're like, what? Like, yes, people like August exist, but like, what teenager is thinking like that?
Yeah.
If, unless they are being, spoiler alerts, molded.
Yes.
Also, I'm not sure this would be the right place for this discussion.
Oh, let's have it.
But I do want to at least bookmark the question of why did Felice skip dinner?
My thought was disordered eating.
Yeah.
Okay.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah, and especially with the tone of how she says that she's skipping dinner and Maddie's response.
Yeah. Maddie's not pushing her. Which I felt, I mean, for multiple reasons, we all feel bad for Maddie in that scene. In some way.
Yeah, why didn't Felice wash her hair? Or wash her hands?
Yeah. But also it's just like, you're in Maddie's perspective for a second when she says she's not coming and she's like,
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Have a nice night. See you later.
Yeah.
But I think now, coupled with a later line that I think about more and more every time I watch the pilot episode, which is when at the party when she's throwing up and Felice asks Sarah, "Do you know how long it takes me to straighten my hair?" And she says, "Well, why do you do it if it takes so long?" She's like, "Oh, you don't have to." And she's like, "No, but I do."
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of. In this episode, we see a lot of Felice trying to conform to everybody's expectation of her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, she posts the picture with her and Rousseau at the stable, and it's like, great day at the stable, even though she had a terrible day at the stable.
Yeah.
Hair being flattened, even though it takes her forever.
Yeah, I think about as much, almost as much as Wilhelm, honestly, I think we see the lie she is projecting to the world. And I think we see that she's actually doing it more effectively than Wilhelm is.
Yeah.
Because no one is suspecting a thing.
No. And on my first watch, I don't know that I suspected anything at that point either.
Yeah.
I think it wasn't until a few episodes from now where I was like, oh.
Like, I think I recognized that she was insecure.
Yes.
But I think the depths of that insecurity.
Yes.
Took some episodes to really flesh out
yes.
for a casual,
yes,
like, first watch.
Yeah.
but seeing the seeds of them already deep, being deeply planted here.
Yes.
Is really
they're definitely here. When I watched it the first time, I kind of assumed it was standard teenager insecurities. You know, we're all insecure about something, especially when you're a teenager.
Yeah.
But for her, it seems it goes a lot deeper than that. And I think that takes a few episodes to really, like, flesh out to completion.
Yeah. But I think even with us just sitting with just the events of this episode, I think there's we can tell there's something more insidious happening there.
Oh, absolutely. But we've also watched it how many times?
Yes. Right. Correct. I mentioned this last episode, but dinner with the Ericsons, just chaos, but make it homey. Just
yeah. It's so homey.
And also, I think this is a great moment to spotlight. I can't always tell. I know a lot of the lines in various episodes are improvised.
Yeah.
I would bet most of this scene is improvised.
Probably. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. I also have a hard time figuring out what's improvised because they do it so well.
Yeah. But I think really, really, I can see Rajda or whoever the director is just being like, find things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the lines that carry important plot details are like really revealing of like Sarah's character especially are probably scripted.
Yeah.
But I would even maybe think that like her yelling at Simone for eating too loud and then him chewing louder. And especially the little like hey, does anyone want water? Like, hey, and then Simone going to Ayu, like, hey, do you want to get, like, there's no way to script all of that.
No.
In a way that is readable.
Right.
But because really you're just really, it's all for the purpose of just like having this just like pleasant soundscape.
Yeah.
Of people getting ready for dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then Sarah's outburst. Man.
Yeah.
The understand punctuated with her throwing her bowl in the sink always gets me.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know enough about Sarah at this point. We have so little of her character at this point to know why in the hell she is so bothered.
Yeah.
But we start getting hints of it in this scene. Of asking her mother to sit up straighter. Saying that her riding pants are ripped, and that's what happens when you get the cheap ones.
Mm-hmm.
All the way down to, I didn't even mention this. I haven't mentioned this yet beyond kind of just, I noted it in the summary episode because I wanted to talk about it here.
Yeah.
More often than not in this scene, when Simon is interacting with their mother, he kind of uses Spanish and Swedish kind of interchangeably, but like leans towards Spanish when he's talking to Linda.
Yep.
I don't think that Sarah speaks a lick of Spanish in the entire scene.
I think you're right.
Like I carefully paid attention and having a Spanish minor helps with this. Like I could recognize, also pro tip, like anyone else is going to ever do this, but like you can use the Spanish subtitles. And when they match what's being said, you know they're speaking in Spanish. Or when they, like, drop out, they match with the speaking in Spanish. And when they're saying something different, like, yeah. That's what I end up doing to just, like, clarify a few lines because I couldn't tell if they were Swedish or Spanish.
Yeah.
Based on accent, you know? But, yeah. So, like, we can probably speak to more of that clearly when we talk about Sarah as a character more in depth. But, like,
yeah.
We see her as a person who says she's just trying to get through the year, but she cares about more than she's letting on, I think.
Yeah, she's trying to assimilate, whether she'll acknowledge that or not.
Yeah.
And she may acknowledge it to herself, but I don't think she'll acknowledge it to anybody else yet.
No, because just to Simon, all she was on their walk to the bus stop, there she was like, well, at least they don't like bother me here.
Yeah.
But that almost sounds like a little bit, like, she's not being bothered like she was when she went to to regular school and at Marienburg.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also not being seen.
Right.
which I think we see in her interaction with Felice. She's slipping under the radar, which is more than she can ever say that she's ever had before. Mm-hmm. But there's also just that tantalizing thing of like the chance to be more.
Right. Yeah.
But that's a tangent that coming soon to character episode near you. Kind of quickly going through this next scene, because it's like it kind of goes kind of fast, but also like you did bring it up in your summary episode, in the cold open of the summary episode.
Mm.
Like, one, I want to talk about like, yeah. Wilhelm's like being late to saying housemaster. Like I talked about it in the last episode, like the way he's late to everything in that scene.
Yeah,
because everyone else just does stuff without telling them they're gonna do it, and he's just to catch up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, if you want to talk about Henry and Walter correcting their opinion.
Oh, yeah. So they were just like trying to match their opinion with whatever Wilhelm's was.
Yeah.
Part of me reads that as like, you know, this is the prince. I have to agree with him. I have to agree with what the royal family says, because while the majority of Swedish society might not really pay all that much attention, it seems like, you know, the upper class, you know, the 1% does.
I feel like if the royal family doesn't like you, they can seriously screw up your shit.
Yeah, probably. And so I feel like that's probably most of why they changed their opinion. I want to know if Wilhelm, and what you think about this, is Wilhelm knowing that people often do this type of thing around him, so he's just like kind of playing with them a little bit, because he says one thing.
I think in a kind of almost in a sad way, because yeah. The thing is, he's not making too much of a joke about it. He's not being obvious about it, which makes me think he's not just trying this joke for the first time. He's done it before.
Yeah.
And I want to say, maybe just because this is the saddest answer to me, he has done this before, but he does it as like a test.
Yeah, I'm not saying playing with them like he's having a good time about this.
No. But I think it's
like the truth of his life is people will just agree with whatever he says.
Yeah, the truth of his life is that when he sees something really obvious, he'll probably just say the opposite and see if people have the guts to disagree with him.
Yeah.
Which, thinking about it, what happens at lunch the next day? Oh, I didn't know you were in Forest Ridge. I'm not. Oh, but why are you? We need to see, us non-Rus people need to eat somewhere.
It's the first person that doesn't just like agree with him. That isn't just like, yeah, whatever.
Because literally, if that was Henry and Walter, that interaction would have gone exactly the opposite.
Yeah, it would have been like, oh, yeah, we are.
It also helps that Simon's basically sitting exactly where Henry and Walter sat the previous night.
That's true.
It deliberately parallels that scene of being it could have been like, oh, like, I didn't know you belonged to Forest Ridge. Well, I guess Simon couldn't lie and say he did, but like,
right.
He could. But like, technically it could have. Like, who's, who in their right mind at Hlyshka is going to disagree with the prince?
Right.
Like, you're just going to let the prince believe what he wants to believe.
Yeah, 100%. And Simon's like, nah.
Yeah.
I just have to eat somewhere, homie.
Yeah. No.
But
about and Simon. I think no, you're good.
Of Simon. What a guy.
Just Henry being stupid, and then Simon not holding back his laughter in class. And also not being afraid to elaborate what he means by laughing at what Henry said.
Yeah. And not even just like laughing at what he's saying. He turns around and he's just like, how much did your dad get on, what was it, subsidies? EU subsidies?
EU subsidies, yeah. Well, because, well, that's when he's asked to elaborate. Because he's just like,
yeah.
Yeah, because he's like, yeah.
There was a like non-combative way he could have gone about it, and he was like, nah.
Yeah, he's not.
I gotta go for it.
Like in the most endearing way, I'm actually not sure Simon's great at diplomacy.
No,
really bad at it, honestly.
Yeah, but he's never had to he doesn't have to.
He hasn't had media training from the womb.
No. He just had ultrasounds.
He just says what he's thinking.
Yeah, because chances are, more likely than not, most of the people who were at his old school agreed with him, to a certain extent, at least on the royal family.
I mean, if we use Ayub and Rosh as like a cross section of Marioburg as a whole, like they at least don't have the highest opinion of the royal family.
Yeah.
Considering Ayub calls Wilhelm a loser.
Yeah, so like, I think that's like important. That like, where if we take Rosh and, if we take his friends and we just like assume that the rest of the school is at least somewhat similar, and now he's in this place where everybody is like, no, I'm trying to get in good with the royal family, like the prince is here, and that's a big fucking deal, and Simon is like.
That, and also, they all believe what they're saying with their whole chest.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a rich person mentality.
It is. It's a rich, privileged person.
Rich people deserve what they have, and poor people are just lazy, and they're not, and they don't work hard enough.
Yeah, that's, like, the rich person personality. Like, the stereotype ideology. One.
Yeah. And it's a stereotype, because it's, like, entrenched in the culture. Yeah. And so, like, Simone is like, can you believe this fucking guy? like he's laughing he's laughing like he would have at Marioburg.
Yeah.
Cause he's only been there for a little over a month. Like he still probably can't believe what the things that come out of these kids' mouths sometimes.
Yeah.
And he's not about to hide his expression or his reaction. But to move on.
Yeah.
I think it was in this episode where I talked about how attractive Omar/Simon is to me.
Yeah, you did.
Specifically, I didn't realize really what the line, we all know who the biggest welfare receivers are, does to me. But like, Simon sass, I can't. Also, this will never not be hot. I'll say it. Omar's sexy as fuck on this line. Like, I'm just gonna be straightforward about that.
It's not very straight.
And no one can judge me.
You're saying you're being straightforward. It's a little bi-forward.
No, but, yes. Because, it's not even the line itself. It's the once-over after the line.
I may be asexual and an asexual lesbian at that. However, I can't admit that was hot as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like the bravado.
No. Yeah. Because also, granted, they're like 16.
Yeah.
The actors aren't though. So
it's okay.
That's disclaimer. Disclaimer. But what I mean by that is we see, especially from future episodes, pretty much all these teenagers seem to be allosexual as fuck. And so like that once over, no one can tell me that's not him like kind of still clocking how cute the prince is.
Yeah.
Like granted lunch hasn't happened yet. So he's not like fully there.
Yeah, but he's also not
blind.
But like
it's the lead,
you know?
He's not blind. It's the lead up to
you
it.
You don't have to like
he's like
you don't have to like that you find someone attractive.
Yeah, in class, that's him aesthetically finding Wilhelm cute. Yeah. At lunch immediately afterwards, that's him finding him emotionally cute. I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah, no, I respect that. Yeah, he's definitely clocking Wilhelm there. Because otherwise there would be no reason for that, like up and down.
I'm jumping right after this because we've already talked about the fucking fork.
We've already talked about the fork.
And so now we're on this little moment of Simon being nervous before August comes around. which I feel like is the first time we've actually ever seen him sweat while at school.
How do you, wait, what?
Like, not literally, but like figuratively.
What scene are we on?
So before, so right before Simon gives his like counter offer to August.
Yeah.
When he kneels, we see him on the
steps.
Oh
yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. I'm with you.
Looking like, yeah, like looking self-conscious.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
About what he's about to do. And like, I didn't mention, we ended up not, neither of us saying anything about when he's playing video games with Ayub. But we know from that scene that he's like thinking through what he wants to do. And like this like continuation of like this uncertainty of whether or not like this is what he wants to do.
Like, is it worth it?
Like, we didn't, yeah, like, we didn't talk about him, the decision that Simon makes to lie to his mother and say that they were invited when they weren't.
That kind of makes the decision for because, him that he now has to get the booze. Because what are you going to...
There's no way of getting around that at that point. Like, he has to find some way. Yeah. Like, and I don't know. Do we kind of want to jump back and just kind of talk a little bit, just real quick, about what we think went into that moment? Because I've never really been able to decide where I land on it. Like, why...
To his mother?
Lie. Yeah.
I think part of it was just like, because Simon seems a little bit more in tune with what his mother has to sacrifice for them to be able to go there.
Definitely.
And so I think part of it is him not wanting his mom to feel like it's a waste.
Mm-hmm.
And like him not wanting his mom to feel like it like is terrible there, because he does sacrifice himself. I think we see that here. He sacrificed himself because now he has to get booze from his father to protect his mother's emotions, whether he's aware of that or not.
What I find really interesting about that moment is for a person who, if Sarah is to be believed, has been seriously considering dropping out of this school, he gives his mom a reason why it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that decision has always been super interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because again, I think that's where we start seeing that difference of that nuance of character. That this guy with a backbone who will say what he means is also immensely self-sacrificing for his family. And so he is willing to just bite the bullet and be like, "Yeah. Okay, I see what needs to happen here. And I'll be the one to do it."
And he's very mature for being able to do that. Like he's only 16 years old. Like,
I don't know if I'm overstepping, but like, is that on trauma?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's not overstepping. That's facts. Yeah. I mean, okay. When your parents are addicts, this isn't for everybody. This isn't everybody's experience. This is my experience. You become the parent more than they are the parent. You feel responsible for them. You feel responsible for their actions. You feel responsible for their decisions. You feel responsible for how they're feeling, regardless of whether you want to or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that often plays out for like throughout other aspects of your life, not just your one parent or two, you know, if both your parents are addicts. And so, yeah, no, I would definitely say that's on trauma. He's been...
Yeah,
I don't even know if this is a word, but like adultified. He's been made into an adult, even though he's only 16.
Adultified, yeah, yeah, it's
adultified.
Yeah, adultification is a thing.
Yeah.
And so yeah, recognizing like I feel like that's so interesting because we haven't gotten any context of even about like it might be kind of clear from the dinner scene that. Simon and Sarah's dad isn't in the picture, but we don't know why yet.
Right.
And so I think it's interesting to, I think that just kind of just speaks to like how the show builds out its characters, that we get evidence of Simone's trauma before we get the reason.
Yeah, and I really like that because then it's not focusing on his trauma. It's focusing on his life now.
Yeah.
And his trauma may be a part of him, but it's not his defining feature.
Yeah, and we get informed about it later.
Yes.
But, like, he's not introduced alongside his trauma.
Yes.
Honorable mention, quick, to jumping back to where we left off, to August and his fucking sunglasses. Another moment that I feel
so
like is
ridiculous.
Really iconic shot, honestly. I should have put it in Art of the Frame. Like,
it is like what I mentioned it. I think I might have mentioned it in this one for choice.
It's like 2911 or so.
Okay. Yeah. So Nils, August, and Vincent all give Simon the exact same look. It's a little bit creepy, actually.
And it's like, I think in my summary, I think I worded it as like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Like, yeah. And
like, you're talking to us?
Yeah. And Nils is the only one that's not wearing sunglasses. But if you look, he's holding them. And they all have the exact same sunglasses. Like, they are in his hand. So not only do they all, like, they're all giving him the same look. They all have the same sunglasses. Nils just isn't wearing his. But, like, they, like...
For audience members who can't see me, I literally just, like, covered my face with my hands because I couldn't. That's so good. That's so good.
I was watching last night and a little bit when we were doing the summary and I was like, that's funny. They all have the same look. And then last night I was like, hang on. These are three pairs of the same sunglasses, same look. Do I know what that means? Okay. No, not really, but...
With that fun little detour, I mean, we could talk about it, but like, I feel like we can talk about that better in later episodes. This is already going to be a very long episode. I'm not sorry to our listeners.
Yeah, shout out to the real ones still listening.
Yes, real ones still listening, but I'm also not sorry because it's in the description of our podcast that these are painstaking dissections.
You were warned.
You were warned. This is really the first episode where I'm starting to see what we meant by that.
Yeah.
I'm gay, Dad.
For a second, I thought you were just telling me, and I was like, yeah.
No. Yeah. No. It's like on the subject, like that after our little August and his sunglasses detour.
Yeah.
Going back to actually what we were just talking about, like, first of all, we have the information that Simon is comfortable in his sexuality enough to remind his estranged father of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you see the literal interaction when Mikko corrects himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it is always so sad and depressing to me.
Breaks my heart.
When Simone smiles when Mikko corrects himself, as if the bare minimum is mm-hmm. actually quite touching. Yeah. And I have trouble sometimes when a fair amount of reactors do actually, from that point on, kind of give Mikko the benefit of the doubt solely because of that one moment.
No.
And it really bothers me.
No.
Because I think it is proof that they are really kind of... It is proof that they almost certainly don't have the same trauma that Simon has. And also, I think it is evidence of only looking at this show through the lens of homophobia.
Yeah.
When... This show looks at so many different ways that these kids' lives are affected by the world around them. Yeah. And just because a parent isn't outright homophobic towards their kid does not mean they're not abusive in other ways.
Yes.
And I think that is the way the show is nuanced.
Yeah.
And you cannot call Mikko less abusive just because he's... seems cool with Simon's sexuality.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
And to a point, is he even cool with it if he can't bother to remember it?
That's so fucking valid. I honestly almost didn't connect it that way, but you're right. You're right. Who, what father forgets their son coming out to him?
The only thing I can think, and I've talked to you off mic about this.
Yeah.
Is if he was too drunk or too hungover to remember.
Yeah.
Not necessarily while they're talking now, but when Simon came out, which would then lead me to wondering if Simon came out in a way that he wasn't planning on.
Potentially.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think.
And we don't get into that.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how relevant that is.
No. I think you're on. You could definitely be onto something. I just made a mental connection to another show. I don't want to make too many of these connections on the podcast, but I think it's relevant to this discussion. I've watched most of the US version of the show Shameless.
Okay.
And that show really deals heavily with an alcoholic and addict father. And it kind of often sometimes it's a dark comedy, so it turns a lot of times for comedy and for jokes. It reminds us of how disconnected this father is with his children's lives.
Yeah.
When he basically kind of just stumbles back into them occasionally and learns details that he will forget a few episodes from now.
Yeah. 100%.
Just, I think Micah could definitely have been detached enough about his life. The way I always kind of interpret it with that character, and I think I could kind of extrapolate that into Micah, is that you kind of have these rut. I feel like neither of us are parents. I'm not a parent, but like I imagine you kind of sometimes have like this running narrative in your head about your children and who they are as people. And at some point or another, the information that Simon is gay didn't filter into Micah's narrative of his child that he keeps telling himself.
Yeah.
Which one points to how estranged they are, and like two just shows that when he was in Simon's life, he was apparently not present enough to recognize that his son had come out to him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And like, again, in the spirit of the show's nuance, the look on Micah's face when Simon tells him that to keep this visit should be a secret, I don't not feel for him.
Yeah.
But I think, like with a lot of characters in this show, my empathy has to be measured and specific.
Yeah. I only feel for him because I can't imagine how terrible it would be to have to live with the fact that you fucked up so hard that your kids don't want other people to know that they came to see you.
Yeah.
But that...
It doesn't mean that he's not responsible for what's happening to his own life. But it doesn't make it any less sad.
Right. And that's an important distinction, is that it is sad that what his life has come to. However, he did it to himself. And that might be a little bit of a hot take. Alcoholism is a disease. All addiction is a disease. But you can get help.
Yeah. And, like, the little I know about recovery is that part of recovery is taking responsibility for your actions.
Yes.
And proof, I think, that Micah is not on the road to recovery yet in this episode is that he makes no effort to say sorry.
Yeah. And even more so, it almost looks like self-pity when he says to, like, when Simon says, "You can't tell anybody I was here." It's like he feels hurt, but not hurt that he hurt Simon.
He's just hurt.
It's purely that he's hurt from what Simon said.
Yeah. On some level, I think there is a part of him that recognizes that he isn't totally. Everyone's kind of justified in their reactions, but I think at some point he recognizes how irrational it is to be that hurt that a kid you hurt that badly would not want his mom and his sister to know he was coming to see you.
Yeah.
And so again, we're not calling Micah a villain, and we're not saying that he's irredeemable necessarily. But
he just
has a lot to make up for.
Yes.
And hasn't done it yet.
Correct.
So, I did not realize we were going to get that deep today. All right. Skipping past the hazing, because yes, well acted, but we talked about it enough in Art of the Frame.
And we talked about it in the summary. So if you want to hear about the hazing, go back.
And I think we all can remember the hazing without having to do that. So let's just move on. The stumble back after Villa is initiated into Forest Ridge, when August lets him go after he said his little speech.
Mm-hmm.
I guess even before that, it's after that. Like, we figured you wouldn't want special treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, taking these things together, you have Villa literally unsteady on his feet, searching for someone he can trust.
Yeah.
And Eric said he could trust August.
Yeah.
So, he's choosing to trust August.
Mm-hmm.
And where does that leave him? Sitting on a couch with someone who says, you could murder someone.
Yeah.
And no one would say a thing.
Yeah. Which... fucked up.
I'm always terrified at the look in August's eyes.
Because he looks so genuine. And then he, like, snaps out of it for a second. And he's like, funny, right? I don't think it was a joke.
He believes it.
He fully believes...
No, it was not a joke.
He could get away with murder.
He was bragging.
Yeah.
He was enjoying the feeling of that privilege.
Which is terrifying.
It is. And I think it's interesting because on some level, I don't do this much with this show. I do this with some other shows that I love for whom characterization of the pilot might be slightly different from characterization in the rest of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes I do want to recognize that when pilot scripts are written, a lot of the times people's characters aren't thought of beyond the lines that are needed to convey general sense of character within the pilot episode. Yep. August has some fucked up shit this episode.
He does do some fucked up shit this episode. Most of what he does, I would argue, is some fucked up shit.
And, like, especially the stuff he says mm-hmm. is really revealing of an ideology that is definitely consistent with his character, but looking ahead slightly without any explicit spoilers, doesn't pop up a whole ton.
Yeah. Part of it is I feel like he might be trying to put on a show. Like...
Yeah. I think he might... I think part of it is that he saw Wilhelm and especially Eric as people who would get it.
Yeah.
And then he realizes that when Wilhelm looks at him like, what the fuck?
He realizes that he doesn't
He realizes like, oh, no, I can't go that far. Got it. Like his line about Felice in the church...
Yeah.
Is him being like, you guys get it.
And Wilhelm is
and
like...
And then he's like, oh, obviously a prince is going to get how great it is to have this much privilege.
Yeah.
And to be in a place where you're this protected. And he's talking to the wrong person about that.
Because even the look in Wilhelm's eyes, he's scared of the look in August's eyes and how genuine... Like, he's like, no, but...
Yeah. And it's interesting because it's like, on some level, August seems like kind of perceptive about the kind of person Wilhelm is. Because that special treatment line feels targeted.
Yeah.
Like, we figured you wouldn't want special treatment.
But then he misses the mark, like, so hard in his other little comments.
He does. I wonder if he's kind of just... I don't know if sometimes... If a lot of the times... Actually, I don't know why I'm phrasing this like it's a question. I feel pretty confident that August really thinks through what he's saying as he's saying it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. August hasn't thought through a single thing in his life.
He has a vibe, but I think really what's happening is that he just turns on, like, the schmoozing part of his brain in both of these interactions.
Mm-hmm.
They have two wildly different results.
Yeah.
But both of them are just finding a way to get this guy to like me.
Yeah. Because it's already clear that he's close with August. It's already clear that August is close with Eric.
Yeah. And so he's trying to find a way in.
Yeah.
And
it's very clear that he's not like that with Wilhelm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just funny that, like, he's so close with special treatment. I'm like, why didn't you go further down that line of thinking?
Mm-hmm.
You went in the exact opposite direction. At the party.
And he got a reaction from Wilhelm when he was like, we figured you wouldn't want special treatment. It was like,
yeah. Because Wilhelm felt understood. Yeah. He was like, maybe I can't trust this guy.
And then he was like,
he gets it.
If you murdered somebody, no one would know. And it was like, whoa, how did we get here?
I think all I just realized a factor. One was sober August. The other one was inebriated August.
You're right. But also, sober August said the thing about Felice.
He does. But also, Eric's there.
That's true.
He's saying that more for Eric, honestly, I think. Because Eric is the one who gets the reaction. So I feel like that's one he was trying to get. He was seeing if he could get Willa. He didn't. He's like, okay, that's fine. But get some alcohol in August, and I think he's way less careful about what he's saying.
And what is it? Drunk words or sober thoughts?
There we go.
I mean,
to something a little more upbeat. I always really appreciate Sarah's explanation of her diagnosis.
Yeah.
And the way it's so just like matter of fact and casual.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just something charming about like, oh, but like I also have ADHD, but that's not actually special because it's quite common. I don't know. Like that's honestly kind of the line that made me fall in love with Sarah as a character.
Yeah.
Like, because it speaks so much to the kind of, like, on many different levels, it speaks to who she is as a character, because the fact that, like, Felice says, you're pretty special, and then Sarah takes her literally. I don't want to be too reductive as to kind of use that kind of, like, stereotype about people with autism, but, like, I think it seems to be true from what I know, like, she's like, well, yeah, I guess I do have this one thing that is pretty unique, but like I also have the other thing that's like not as unique.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's like 50-50.
Yeah.
I'm like 50% special. So yeah. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah.
On this little acting section. Do you have anything before Wilhelm chugging water?
No. Well, I'm chugging water. Let's go.
We talked about this in Revolution, but just like he's so good. He's just like we already debated this tons in Revolution. We don't need to talk about it too much, but just like quick little shout out to Wilhelm chugging water.
Yeah.
Such a great acting choice.
It is.
Just like looking every which way, being like, sober up the fuck now. Like, right.
And it's such a large thing of water. It's huge. It's like the size of his torso.
I think that speaks to how much alcohol is at this party.
Yeah.
That they feel they have the need to just have those giant of water bottles out for people.
Yeah. I want to know if they have them out for people or if they have them out so that people can just, like, pour them into a cup. And Wilhelm is just like, nah, I gotta chug this.
That's probably funnier. That's the funnier answer.
It's like a cup of water isn't enough. I need to chug this entire gallon of water.
Okay. Second instance.
Yes.
Of moments in this episode where Omar's acting makes me go feral.
Yeah, let's have it.
When Simon, with Will is like nodding and smiling after he gets Simon's attention, and then Simon's like, gotta go. And before he goes, I noticed it for the first time this time. He holds Wilhelm's eyes for a second and bites his lip.
Nuh-uh. Say fucking psych, I'm pulling up Netflix right now. Are you kidding?
And I swear there's like a challenge in that final look along with the lip bite.
Okay, hang on. It's loading.
I was wondering if one of us would do this at some point. I'm surprised it took us this long, but stay tuned, audience, while Margaret finds the scene in question.
Wait, where is it? Hang on. I got it. Oh, here it is.
37:14.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's for our audience, too.
Oh my god! Yeah, he does!
That's not, it's not even subtle. No! Really. Like, it's a similar energy, but it's like slightly less energy than this grin he gives later of like, would it be so bad? Like, it's literally like a follow me if you dare. Like, I know we were questioning in Revolution whether or not he, like, whether or not he's testing Wilhelm.
He is.
Yeah.
Oh my god, he is. Because he bites his lip, he, like, smirks, and then he leaves.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's even funnier is that Villa doesn't even realize that's what's happening.
No, he has no idea.
He's like, shit, he's leaving.
Yeah. I need to go stare at the wall for a while.
Then shout out to Simon loving the compliment that he gets from Villa on his voice. Yeah. Like the little, like it's the little like scratch behind the ear for me. Impeccable acting choice. Do you like it here?
God,
do you like it here?
That gets me every time.
Yeah. He lied
because
like a liar.
You can tell that they both don't want to lie at first to the other. And Simon avoids lying by just bouncing the question back to Wilhelm and just doesn't even answer it. And then Wilhelm takes a minute and he's like, shit, okay, I have to lie. Yeah, I guess I do.
Yeah. And I didn't realize until watching this back, but like we don't see what Simon's face is when he responds to Villa. We don't even really see his face when while Wilhelm is in the silence, because right after that, August shows up. And so like we don't get to really see what
100%
Simon's face looked like in that moment.
Yeah.
But we see enough of his face afterwards.
Yeah.
To like, probably know that he's just kind of trying to figure this guy out.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Because I think he can't immediately know what that silence means.
No.
Especially considering how he acts in the rest of the scene. Like,
right.
He's not treating Wilhelm's anxiety with the seriousness that I feel like he might if he knew the full extent of it and the reasons why.
Yeah, because he still doesn't know. You know, like, they've interacted, what, 3 times? 4 times?
Yeah.
You can't know the extent of somebody's anxiety at that point.
Yeah. Third instance of Omar's acting making me go feral. I don't know if you've also noticed this. After the "would it be so crazy" grin, Simon looks up at the hearing that the voices are going away, and looks back at Wilhelm, and clearly is thinking about what it would be like to kiss him.
Yeah, I fully agree.
It's so clear on his face. I wrote that down in my notes because I needed to be like, I don't know why I didn't read it as being this obvious.
No, and it is. It's super obvious. It's right there.
It definitely is. And I know in Revolution we were talking about how like we're pretty clear that Simon is more obvious or more obviously aware of Wilhelm's attractions than Wilhelm is of his own attractions.
But we didn't specifically talk about the moment when Simon is like, maybe we should kiss. Maybe that would be good.
Yeah, because it's like first it's like, would it be so crazy? And then it's like he asked himself, would it be so crazy? Like, Yeah.
And he's like, no, it wouldn't.
And I got into this next point. Wilhelm says to be quiet, and then Simon disobeys the order. You know, like someone who has no respect for the monarchy.
Yeah.
It's like, it's teasing, like we've talked about, what we talked about in Revolution, but like it's also just like insanely in character.
Yeah.
Like, he is, I always kind of like, it is now less teasing for me in my mind than it is a defiance of authority.
Yeah.
Like, you told me to do something and I don't want to, so I'm just not gonna, I'm gonna disobey you.
Yeah.
So it's just very in character down to like, I just love the little sing song.
Villa! It's like, so good.
Because it's like, it's just a little thing where I'm just like, that makes sense for a singer.
Yeah. Are you doing that to all the people?
I mean, I do notice myself sometimes that like, I do sometimes do random shit just on pitch.
Fair.
For the listeners, I'm also a vocal music minor. I just realized my entire degree is evident from the past three or four episodes.
We got your entire degree, and mine is, I don't think mine's been mentioned.
It hasn't. I mentioned you're a STEM person.
Ooh,
I think.
Yeah.
Or that might have been off mic, but yeah.
I can't remember whether it was on mic or off mic. Teaser.
Well, now you know. Now you know when this episode goes up, when we announce this episode on Instagram, after you listen to it, go back to our Instagram for this episode and try to guess what Margaret's major is.
There we go. That's good. I fucking like that.
Engagement.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. I have one last point. Do you have anything before I close us out?
Now let's have it.
I can't breathe. I'm in these boys' heads, and I see Villa realize where his hand is, and Simon wonder what he was just imagining might actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're leaning in closer to each other, I swear.
Yeah.
It's so subtle.
No, yeah. And Wilhelm literally closes his eyes.
Which...
Yeah.
We can't get too much into the next episode, but this watch through, more than any of the previous ones, I've just been like, okay, we don't find out what the hell happens, but what the hell happened?
Right? That's what I was talking about with the last episode. I was like, I appreciate the fact that we are left in the dark because it allows us to, like, it makes the story more interesting.
No, yeah.
I don't know how to say it. But God damn, do I want to know what happened?
I mean, I think the point of it also is it's our headcanon now. So I guess what is People Don't Talk About Young Royals official headcanon for what happens after this cut, after they cut?
Oh, shit. I can't say what mine is without spoiling the next episode.
We'll speak about it later. I guess then we might have... Well, yeah. I mean, neither of us can really spoil it because, yeah. I guess we'll table this. We'll table this question for later. Leave you in suspense.
There we go.
Because we do gotta know. I'm an English major. We do need to know, we need you guys to be. We need to be able to talk about what happens in episode two if we want to discuss what happens between. So honestly, catch us in the Revolution episode for season one, episode two.
Yes, yes. The next Revolution episode, we will disclose our official People Don't Talk About headcanon.
Yes. And for those of you listening in the far future, when this isn't the only episode, this is the most recent episode out, you could just jump there right now.
Yeah.
If you want to. We're not the boss of you.
No.
Be a Simon, not a Villa.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
No shade to Villa.
I love him.
But he knows it too.
My boy.
Okay. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to keep up to date with when we release new episodes and other pod-related announcements, you can check out our Instagram at People Don't Talk About. Our next episode will be the first of a new episode type entitled Love Among Royals. It'll be a plot discussion of season one, episode one, with a focus on all the relationships that are not between Wilhelm and Simon. So stay tuned. And with that, all that's left to say is,
let's start a revolution, baby!